We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there, Knicks fans. How you doing? It's your boy, Jonathan Macri, with you for another episode of the Knicks Film School Podcast. Coming at you at the end of a week in which the Knicks have played a basketball game. A very fun basketball game. A basketball game in which they did some nice things. And a basketball game that we are not going to talk about on this episode because we are finishing the week with a celebration of something that happened over 10 years ago, but remains relevant nonetheless. And that is the exploits of one Jeremy Lin. So by now, you know, it is Jeremy Lin week here at the Knicks Film School Podcast. We have an interview with Jeremy Lin dropping tomorrow, but today I'm very, very, very pleased to share with you a conversation that I had with, pretty sure I could say, the first national reporter to cover Jeremy Lin or to focus on Jeremy Lin for a national story way back in 2010 with Sports Illustrated. Now, of course, he is with the worldwide leader in sports, ESPN, and that is Pablo Torre. So Pablo Torre, for those who don't know, is the host of the great podcast ESPN Daily. He's been all over ESPN's airwaves for a number of years since he was with Sports Illustrated and Linsanity was happening. I have known Pablo, as you will hear very early in this interview, for quite a bit longer than that. We went to the same high school. I was a senior when he was a freshman. So our relationship goes back quite some time. It was, as much as it was great to talk to him about Linsanity, and I should also add, he is part of the documentary 38 at the Garden, which coincides with our celebration of Linsanity. That documentary is premiering on HBO in a few days. So look out for that. But yeah, Pablo is interviewed in the doc, and he has a lot of firsthand experience with Linsanity. But yeah, way before that, we were in high school together, and we touch on some of those experiences in the pod, as well as Linsanity, as well as the Knicks themselves, this year's Knicks, and you know, what's going on with them at the very end of the pod. So this was fun. It was good to catch up with them. It was good to talk basketball. I think that's it. Hope you enjoy the spot. Obviously, be on the lookout for the Jeremy Lin interview dropping tomorrow. But here's a nice appetizer for you. Pablo Torre of ESPN. Joining me now on the Knicks Film School podcast, he is a first-time guest, but this is not the first time I've spoken to this person. Although, gun to my head, if you told me, have we ever had a conversation about sports? Forget the Knicks. If we have, ever had a conversation about sports before, I don't know that I'd be able to give a reliable answer.
Well, no. The answer is
probably
no.
Not. The answer is no. Okay. Probably because, like, if you were on the Hearn, you talked about a lot of things. Sports.
I am so. First off, I
have to introduce you. Hold on.
I hate that I'm jumping in on your own show, but I'm so excited to be here.
Okay, he works for ESPN. You've probably heard of it. Host of ESPN Daily. He's amazing. Pablo Torre. Hello, sir.
John Macri. How long has it been?
I've been really bad at going to Jug Nights over the years. I don't know if you've been any better. That would have been the natural happenstance where we would have run into each other. I know you did the panel though for the, you know, people in sports media.
Sure.
A year ago. Yeah.
Sure.
But that was a virtual event.
That was a virtual event. We're dilly-dallying. We're kind of circling the truth here, which is that we both, long before we ever wound up working in sports, you and me, we were on the same speech and debate team in high school. And
the one and only.
The Hearn. It was our football team. It was the most popular sport at Regis High School. And I just remember you as, and Andrew, I don't know if you know this about John, but just a truly talented, phenomenal performer, like an actor. I would watch him perform these pieces, dramatic, comedic, and I'm like, this is the future voice of the Knicks internet, is what I said to myself at the time. Yeah.
I'm still performing comedic pieces on here almost daily.
So you're saying the bits about RJ Barrett and Julius Randle are a performance then, Pablo?
That's right.
Wait,
John, name a piece that you performed in high school, if you could, just to give a sense of, like, for me, of like what I would have remembered you doing, because I feel like you did some like heavy shit, but some funny shit. And you may have done it like in a duo interpretation context, which is a term that all speech and debate nerds know. But
there are people listening out there who are like, speech and debate, like what? Like, what even is that? And
of course,
if we were to describe it in full, people would think that we were making it up because it is so ridiculous when you actually
extraordinarily
say
ridiculous.
You stand in front of a room with a little binder and you don't read from the binder, mind you. You hold the binder and you turn the pages as if you are reading from it, but not actually reading.
So I did debate real quick. The acting, the binder stuff was all John Macri. Yeah.
Pablo couldn't hold the binder was too much for Pablo.
Too intimidating.
Yes, it was. Pablo, I'm burying the lead here, which is before he became one of the faces of a global brand. Pablo was a debater, a high school debater of some renown. Let me tell you, when you were a senior at our high school and you were on the Hearn and you knew a freshman's name, freshman was doing something right. So yeah, you did a few things right, Pablo. I'll just say that.
This is my favorite and also definitely the saddest introduction that I've ever received. And I could not be more grateful. Thank you.
It's the least I could do. I'm struggling to remember a name of a piece that I did that you would have seen.
Swimming with sharks.
Oh my goodness. Was it Alan? Could you imagine if he's listening? Alan Hotchner.
Alan Hotchner?
Yes.
Oh boy.
Shout out Alan, if you're out there.
Just the acting talent on Staten Island in the early 2000s.
I don't think you played. Hold on.
I don't think he was from Staten Island.
Oh, really?
Colin, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
That's a different story.
Colin Jost, he doesn't need to be mentioned here. But I am profiling all of my Italian American classmates as just entirely from Staten Island. So
as apologies. You should.
I remember the first ever debates I had in Regis were as a freshman debating with kids from Jersey about whose locale smelled more, the Staten Island because of the dump or Jersey just
that's right.
being Jersey.
That's right. Fresh Kills, respect the legacy. Yeah.
That should be the new slogan. I don't know why we're going on about this. We're
here to talk about something other. That. Sorry.
Yes, it's your fault. Other than this, I want to talk to you a little bit about the Knicks before I let you go. But first and foremost, you are part of something. It hasn't premiered yet, but it will be premiering shortly. A documentary about still a young man, as far as I'm concerned. He's younger than us. Yep. Young man by the name of Jeremy Lin, who came and kind of took the world by storm a little bit more than a decade ago. And you are part of this documentary, 38 at the Garden, which again is going to be on HBO. Had a chance to watch it a few weeks ago. Andrew and I had a chance to watch it at the premiere at HBO headquarters a couple nights ago. I can't speak highly enough of it, but I'm going to do that in the intro. I just want to get right to you and this thing, which is to ask, how did you get involved? Did someone go seek you out, or like, how did this all start?
Yeah. So I, you know, one of my claims to some minor fame is that I have just been a barnacle on the leg of Jeremy Lin. And so I covered him when he was a senior at Harvard. When I had just graduated, I covered him a number of times throughout his NBA career, certainly for Sports Illustrated during Linsanity, wrote two cover stories on him, which is its own insane thing. The point is, I had been bothering this man for years for interviews, many of which, understandably, he did not. But for this one, he reached out to me and said, I'd like you to participate in this. Oh, and wow. I said, of course. Like, it's insane that this story is still so resonant to me personally, to so many people, as I think the film does a really good job of conveying. But, you know, I had begged Jeremy unsuccessfully to, like, do a book project, I, at one point, I wanted him to like dress in disguise and go to a basketball court and play strangers. Like, for all of the dumb requests I made of him over the years, it was just a really nice thing for him to ask me to talk about just some of the things that I witnessed in the course of those dumb and occasionally successful requests.
I'm happy you brought up the old SI days, because you had a line in there. I want to say it was from his mom. And this is, again, before Linsanity ever was a word anybody knew, about how he's, oh my God, I'm missing. It was Mr. So, but someone like that was always underrated. And that was back then, before he ever was on any NBA radar.
Right. Right. I mean, I knew his parents from doing that story. I forget what Mr. Improbable.
Yeah,
something, you know, it's ringing bells in my brain too. It's been 10 years.
More than 10 years, and like 12, 13.
Yeah, right. Now we're talking October, of course, Jesus. But I knew his parents. And so like when I was at SI and this story with the Knicks began to unfold, like I was the one guy who had an in with his family and him, to be honest. And Knicks PR, shout out to the former head of PR, Jonathan Sopranowicz, who roadblocked me at every possible turn. But I had this
job,
and he did it so well, specifically that job for so many years. But I had an in with Jeremy and his family. And so when the Frank Isolas of the world, and I've gotten to know and work with Frank since then through ESPN. But when he was chasing the tabloid guys, the real New York beat guys were on the story chasing it. I think they very also understandably began to resent me because I was just like the guy with this pretext for a story that everybody wanted, but no one could really get to the center of. And I just, through sheer barnacle luck and happenstance, ended up being that person.
So the doc does such a great job of setting it up, going through the fact that he, based on his accolades in high school, and correctly, I think, implying that like had he looked differently than he did, if you give someone with literally everything else, measurables, all the same things, I don't know, would he have been a first round pick, but would have gotten drafted, certainly.
Yes.
And
yes.
So it sets it all up, getting, you know, he tried to latch on with the Warriors. That didn't work out. Rockets didn't work out. Knicks leading up to the first game where he gets time against the then New Jersey Nets, I think, or maybe they were in Brooklyn. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. Nobody cares about the Nets. as we were getting up to that Nets game, had you had contact with him, any inkling that something, maybe he'd be getting a chance, or were you just like a fan watching that night like everybody else?
I want to actually see in my text of how far they go back, because I'm fairly certain that, like, even me, even Jeremy Lin guy, like, had given up on just expecting something like this to happen.
Okay.
And I say that because I would definitely check in at the beginning of the season, because I don't know, at that point, I did not know many NBA players in the league. But the fact is, all of this was fucking surreal, man. Like, I remember as soon as the Nets game happened, he gets off the bench and I'm like, well, time to see where this goes. Never ever thinking that it would go where it did. And God, yeah, just a couple of, yeah, nothing in here that proves that I saw this coming is what I just confirmed for you. Yeah.
So you're watching that game, and then one game turns into two, and two turns into three, and then it eventually leads up to the focus of the documentary, which was the performance against the Lakers. As Linsanity is unfolding, you talk on the documentary so eloquently about what it meant for you in the moment and the experience watching that, you know, here, you know, in New York and everything. Behind the scenes, like, were you, at some point, did you hear from him? And was like, and what was that like?
Yes, I was desperately trying to figure out how to cover this, because I knew this was going to be my story, my assignment. I was the only one who had access to him. And I immediately was just like, I don't want to do this in some sort of like short form format. Yeah. What I wanted to do was like pitch him on like a long sit down. Like, I almost wanted to escape the news cycle, because the news cycle, because these games were happening and it was just escalating. And again, the debut, for all of the whatever water anyone wants to throw on it, in retrospect, like, his debut as a starter was up there with Michael Jordan, Allen Iverson. Oh. Like, it's like it's just statistically, in terms
that's
of
real
first, it's real. And so that happening made me kind of panic. And I was just like, I want to disengage from the chaos. I want to get him to do the long sit down. I don't want to go and just like write off of one game and do it. And inevitably, you know, I push and push for this with my editors, and they're like, okay, they don't really believe it's going to have legs anyway. Okay. And then we get up to the Laker game, to the whole like night of the game that is the focus, the conceit of the doc. And it's just clear that I'm going to have to write this cover story for Sports Illustrated. And I am like begging Jonathan Zebranowicz, can I get access to him? I'm texting him. Can I just get in touch with him? Because he's telling me stuff, but it's off the record because he's trying to be a good employee. He's like never had attention before. He's trying to be a good Nick. He's trying to do what you guys want. And he is not budging. And I'm offering literally like, I will tutor your children for the SAT. Like, what do you need me to do? And this does not work either. And so I'm like seeing him after games, but we can't actually get on the record. And so it's one of the weirdest just reporting experiences, where all of that leads up to me turning around a cover story because he drops fucking 38 on the Lakers at the Garden. And everybody has to reckon with this being just a thing, capital A, capital T now.
The first two consecutive covers, which I don't know how many times that's been done in the history of Sports Illustrated, but I know it's not many.
Yeah.
So I can't even imagine. And this is what I really want to ask you more than anything, because you at that point, I mean, obviously you're working for Sports Illustrated. Sports Illustrated is, you know, biggest sports entity in the country still at that point. And this is your profession. And this is, I guess in some ways you had to see this not as a break, because you were already, you know, you had already made it, but this is big.
Oh, but yeah.
At the same time, though, you're a fan of what's going on. And again, you spoke eloquently about this on the doc, which everybody should go watch when it comes out. But you're experiencing this on a different level. So what was that dichotomy like for you at the time?
It was very strange. It was the sort of surreal, because look, it's the most surreal story I've ever covered, ever seen, have ever imagined, that run. And the fact that I knew him, the fact that I'm Asian American, I'm Filipino, the fact that I was born and raised in Manhattan, like not far from Madison Square Garden, walking distance, like grew up ancestrally a Knicks fan. Like it's the sort of story where it's like, it's incredibly narcissistic to think this way, but I think we all sometimes do. It's like, am I the main character of this movie? Like, this is all happening to me.
I love,
like,
that.
This is about me now. And of course it's not, but it was hard to disentangle all those feelings. The thing that saved, I think, just the idea of how to report and write this story, though, because there was reporting and writing to actually do. Like, magazine readers of SI didn't give a shit that I felt this way personally. These are not first person essays, but that was the backdrop, as you sussed out. What saved it was, I think, just the idea that this was just a celebration. Yeah. You know, like, for as much as there would be, and we would, Jeremy and I talk about more complicated things down the road, the idea of introduction and celebration in one breath and getting to channel some of that through journalism is not a thing the Columbia School of Journalism, which I did not attend, would ever recommend. But it's definitely something that I think if you read that story, you can sort of see between the lines just how goosebumpy the whole thing was for me.
And the crazy thing, and again, I've watched the doc twice and through it, and I'm not sure if you know that. I think I told you. Jeremy Lin interview is dropping later this week, but I conducted it a few weeks ago, and I was preparing for that, and I was trying to grapple with my own experience back then as obviously a white American Knicks fan watching this, and be like, how did I engage with the Asian American part then? And like, I remember the first time, obviously, he came on my radar. I was like, oh, he doesn't look like most players that I see in uniform.
No.
But and again, this may be revisionist history because we all revise history in our own minds as things go on. But I felt like that dropped off for me, that part of it. Not dropped off altogether, but like, I just cared about the magic carpet ride as the suffering Knicks fan.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's like looking back now, and thinking about that part of it. And then again, the doc, for anybody who doesn't know, it really does focus on the fact that he, you know, knocked down a lot of barriers. And even to this day, that is such an important story to have happened. So like, how do you grapple with that now, looking back?
Yeah. So you mentioned a couple of things before, right? Like, just the stereotyping, the caricaturing, which became explicit and awful in terms of just like people seemingly unknowingly just like making racist jokes online and just like classic, just like Asian shit. But beyond that, right, like the guy measured as like the quickest person that Mike D'Antoni and the Knicks had like worked out. And just that never really came across. Why, you might ask? Well, that's one of them. Going back to his college and high school days too, we want to say championship in California, et cetera, et cetera. But the thing about the Knicks experience and race to me, I remember thinking, I mean, this is something that I was, I think, pretty in tune with from the start, was just like the beating heart of the story to me is race. And it's not the only one, but there are so many threads there. The Harvard thing, the Knick thing, the D-League thing getting cut.
And they're inextricably intertwined.
Yes. And so you tug on one and all of them start to like really reveal themselves. But I just knew that for Jeremy, like that was the way that he always had to navigate the world, was through that lens first and foremost. Before the other stuff, the D-League, Harvard stuff came across, like that was always how he felt himself, because he was the ultimate minority. Like there just hasn't been an Asian American character. And I use the word character deliberately like that. Character in the sense of a celebrity, a famous person, a person for others to project their inner monologues onto. I mean, it was wild, dude. Like I remember at one point at the peak of it, it was like, oh, here is the tabloid rumor about Kim Kardashian wanting to take Jeremy out to, I'm just like, what is happening? Like he's getting to check that box of just like ensnared in insane tabloid rumor. He is somebody who is being, you know, like stalked. He could not reveal where he was staying. I mean, he had to lie about that. He was sort of incognito. It was both an amazing, unprecedented thing for an Asian American to experience, not just in basketball, but just in celebrity at all, and specifically for an Asian dude, right? Like, that was the other part of this story. And like, so much of the film, I think, establishes this, like what he meant for a demographic that is oftentimes just emasculated as a concept, like never the prom king, never the jock, never the alpha in that stereotypical language. He ended up being that in a way that we had literally never seen in American culture, in Hollywood, in sports, in anything, media. And it was him. And when you can feel the gravitational pull from millions and billions of human beings who all see that, the other demographics begin to, I think, shrink a little in that context. So I had always seen it through that way because I felt it.
And it's funny that you use the word character, because on the doc you bring up, now we have a Asian Marvel superhero, and like that's meaningful. And it's 10, you know, takes longer than we'd like, but I guess
it's meaningful. But I just, not to spoil my line in the doc, but like, you could watch Shang-Chi or you go watch Linsanity YouTube clips and tell me which one is more affecting, which one's more believable, inspiring. So, man, it's the thing that all of us, speaking in the royal we there, all of us had been waiting for.
Well, I was so thrilled that you were a part of it. It made it, just for me watching it and having, you know, felt like magic was real, watching Linsanity happen over a decade ago. Seeing you on the doc made it even a little bit more special.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey guys, quick break to tell you about Factor. Factor makes it easy to eat clean 24/7 with fresh, never frozen, prepared meals that are so delicious you wouldn't believe they're actually good for you. Factor saves you time by delivering chef-crafted meals to your doorstep, eliminating the hassle of grocery shopping and meal prep. Not to mention cleanup, no dishes to wash here. Each Factor meal arrives pre-prepared and ready to eat in 2 minutes. That's even faster than ordering in. Factor tackles the tough stuff, so I don't have to. Their registered dietitians and expert chefs work hand in hand to create meals with nutritious ingredients. And with 29 meal options each week, I'm never bored. Going off script for this next part to tell you just how convenient and delicious I've found Factor. My to-do list is usually never ending. I rarely have time for meal prep. When Factor sent me a box to test out, I chose the extra protein option. They sent me a week's worth of meals, and I had no idea just how convenient this was going to be. Each meal comes pre-prepared, you just put it in the microwave for 2 minutes, wait another 2 minutes for it to cool down, and boom, in 4 minutes, my meal is ready, and it's delicious as well. Last night, while I was editing this podcast, I heated up the pork shepherd's pie with white cheddar, Yukon mash, and roasted green beans. Not only was the prep time non-existent, but I was able to get a lunch break in and still get the podcast out for all of you to hear without taking a significant break. They have plenty of other meal options as well. There's vegan and veggie meals, keto, low-calorie options, cold pressure juices, smoothies, energy bites, plant-based bars, extra protein, the one I chose, veggie sides, and more to keep you fueled and focused all day long. Don't hesitate. Head to go.factor75.com/filmschool130 and use promo code filmschool130 to get $130 off across 6 boxes. That's filmschool130 at go.factor75.com/filmschool130 for $130 off.
I would be remiss if I let you go before I ask you at least one question about this year's Knicks. Let's make it a good one. What are you most excited?
Go ahead.
What are you most excited about? But whatever you want to go.
I'm most excited for Leon Rose to break his silence by coming on your show. Can that happen?
There is a better chance.
Can we turn the sign like days since Leon Rose has spoken to the public to zero on Knicks Film School? Can we do that? Can we get that to happen?
There is a better chance Andrew will book the ghost of Red Holzman. Sit in front of a microphone and talk to me about his exploits.
There's a better chance John and I are in the next Shang-Chi movie than Leon Rose coming on this program. Okay.
I've been a little hard on Mr. Rose.
I know. Rightfully so. I mean, look, I talked to Mike Breen, and by the way, I had to say this because shout out to him, but like terrible fire at his home. He's one of the greatest dudes. By the way, Regis Illuminati, his son's Regis High School graduates. So anyway, it is all a long way of saying that I talked to Mike Breen before all of that. And he told me that Linsanity was the most special period in his life in terms of broadcasting games, which is crazy, crazy, right? That guy called Ray Allen. Right?
Yeah.
Ray Allen with the best shot, you could argue, in NBA history and so many other finals. But I say that to say that my feelings about the Knicks are that there is always this just this almost mythologically, it's a mythologically untapped potential. Where you get tastes of it with Linsanity, you got tastes of it with Breen calling the first game back, the playoff game back, with fans in the building, and me who has sworn off the Knicks as a thing I care and bleed for, I teared up at that. And so what I'm looking forward to, despite all of my cynicism and snark, is that that feeling is something that we can access again, because it's just a special, unparalleled thing in sports that we've gotten in our lifetimes, John. Twice, three times, depending on how you ranked the 90s.
I was going to say, right? I got you by a couple of years. Putting the 90s aside, because I don't know, like I was young, but like 99 finals run for me will always be number one. I think because I was older for Linsanity, I might put Linsanity number two. And then after that, I got to go back to either when I was like 11 years old or 12 years old.
We're not going Mike Woodson, unfortunately. Shout out to the magical run that he had.
That's the difference between us and a lot of fans a few years younger than us who still hold that season sacrosanct, including this person on
remember right now. When Melo played the four?
Yes.
Remember when they shot threes? Yes.
Yeah. When he won a scoring title. Yes. Yes.
No, it was. But anyway, all of it just to say that my hope is that isn't lost. And I would like to hear people who work for this team explain why it wouldn't be if they ever deem the public worthy of their attention. Yes.
It is an issue. We can just say that. Last thing before I let you go, what are you excited? Forget the Knicks. What are you excited about coming up? I mean, I have obviously had the pleasure of watching your career from afar. And if I promise I was going to say this. I think when I first noticed you in SI, I think I was either just started practicing law or I was in the midst of practicing law, but I already knew I hated practicing law. And I'm like, shit, Pablo, he's writing SI freaking cover stories here, man. I was a senior. I could have kicked that kid's ass in speech and debate when we were together. If he could do it, I could. No, but in all seriousness, you were an inspiration for me to really start to dip my toe in these waters. And your star has only shown brighter over the years that have ensued. What are you excited about moving forward from here? What do you got on tap?
I am excited that with this knowledge, I may inspire other lawyers to stop being lawyers. And I just, in all earnestness too, on that note, right? Like, A, thank you. B, I feel you, because I only wound up doing this because I bombed the LSAT.
Oh, I know you. You did not bomb the LSAT.
Okay, sorry. I should contextualize this. For you, had a panic attack and freaked out about what I'm going to do with my life. Okay. And not only did I, for me, bomb the LSAT, a very fair footnote, is not only that, I took the year and studied to take it again. And I did. And in that intervening time, I went to Sports Illustrated and became a fact checker and went on that path. And only through like that, by my interpretation, like brutal failure, did I wind up doing this? Like I can relate so much to the idea of like, I wanted to do X, wound up doing Y. And now I just am so thankful that Y is now my why. Wow. This has got corny at the very end.
Oh, that was good.
So if I can just continue to do work that justifies that part of the fork in the road, ESPN Daily, Debatable. This is where I just crassly promote the things I do for ESPN.
Promote away.
No, it's just those things. I'm proud of them. I think they're ambitious. Hopefully they're worth people's time. So yeah, man, that's what I'm mostly excited for.
Well, I think the hardest thing to do in certainly sports media, maybe all of media, to do today, nowadays is to make something that, as you say, is worth people's time, but people will also give it their time, and enough people will give it their time. Absolutely. To make the people writing the checks continue to want to put it out there. And you have managed to toe that line better than anyone can over, you know, a long time now. I can't wait to see what comes up next for you. Thank you for doing this. And yeah, congrats again on the doc. You are a part of the story, man. It is your story.
No, I thank you. And I just hope that when Insanity is performed as a duo interpretation, those binders do justice, John, to our story.
On that note, Pablo Torre, everybody. All right. I hope you enjoyed that spot with Pablo. I know I did. See if I could wrangle him back up for another interview at some later point in time. We can talk about some other stuff. As a reminder, one more reminder, Jeremy Lin, the interview is coming tomorrow on the Knicks Film School podcast. Be sure to check that out on your feed, and also go over to our YouTube channel so you can see the video of that interview where Jeremy is going to be doing that from a hotel room halfway across the world. And I will just, I'll give you that snippet. All right. Don't forget, give a 5-star rating, leave a nice review if you enjoy the program. But until Jeremy Lin time, talk to you later.